evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Carolyn from Palo Alto. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you, Michael. It's a great joy to be here.
Great. It's great to have you on the air today. And it's a beautiful day outside today in Palo Alto, too.
It is. Gorgeous.
Yes. Carolyn, I have a little puzzle here, and it has three pieces. The first piece is art. Second piece is Living Beyond Karma. And the third piece is Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And I understand that you can tell us how all of these pieces fit together.
What a lovely way to present it.
Great.
It's just, and they do, they fit so beautifully together. That's been my experience anyway for the past 8 months especially. The Living Beyond Karma class was life-transforming for me, and it opened up a whole new world of creativity and abundance that I had always longed for, and it was just a miracle.
Great, great. And for people who are not familiar with that class, can you give a little background?
It was set up brilliantly. What we were asked to do was create a project for ourselves that would generate income and do it in a way or do it in a way that would be very supportive, very compassionate, and would just light us up, inspire us, put a spring in our step, a song in our heart, and it did all of that and more.
Great. So this was a practice opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With bells on.
Yeah. With bells on. Great. Great.
Yeah. And so my project was to create something that I'd always wanted to do, which was create an art show. And with the support of Sangha and with Sherry and everyone in the class, I was able to go up against conditioning that had kept me from doing something like that my whole life, and to take that step into it and come up with a series of 50 collage pieces.
Wow, 50, that's a lot.
It is, and I just had so much help, Michael. It doesn't, I say I, but there were just, it was a multitude of people involved. And yeah, there was so much support. And the more people I invited to come in, the more support there was, all the people in me as well as all the people in the community.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Great. Great. Yeah. I just have this vision of it. It's just coming through you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it opened up something that had been closed down by conditioning. And when that conduit opened, all this creativity and joy and everything just came rushing through. And it never seemed like work. It was just this wonderful, wonderful, energy-filled experience.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So you made these beautiful collages, and you wanted to do an art show.
Yes.
And what happened next?
Well, I contacted, and this is a great story in itself. I contacted a friend of mine, Randy Robinson, who owns Vino Locale. And Randy opened Vino Locale because he used to come to the Zen Center in Mountain View and come to my yoga classes. And he came to one of Sherry's workshops on a Saturday. He and I both attended. And I remember after the workshop, he came up to me, and he was completely lit up, and he said, this has just changed my life. I've decided to open the business that I've always wanted or dreamed of doing. So he quit his high-paying, high-pressure job and and opened this lovely, lovely shop in Palo Alto. And so this whole thing came full circle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
isn't that great? Story.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah. So, we just never know. I mean, here's something that Sherry offered, and it laid the seeds for Randy's change, and then 4 or 5 years later, it was the foundation for, you know, moving the Living Beyond Karma into a public setting.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful. And so a couple of weeks ago, here at the Palo Alto Zen Center, in the morning there was the Art from the Heart workshop.
Yes.
Which people could participate in locally as well as over Skype, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did they do in the afternoon?
They came to the reception.
Yes.
Yes, and it was a rollicking good time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It was a joy to see everyone and all the familiar faces, and then to share their experience. And the really rewarding thing too, Michael, was several folks came up to me and indicated that the experience they'd had, you know, looking at everything, they wanted to revisit their own creativity. They wanted to go back and pick up things that conditioning had sort of talked them into dropping.
Oh,
that was very inspirational.
Yes, yes, yes. It was great.
Yeah.
And as you know, I was there also, and it was just really wonderful to see all the beautiful work that you had done. And for me, you know, as I told you, I was feeling moved to buy everything in the place there. And then, as you informed me, I learned that, in fact, most of it was already sold.
It was magical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a wonderful experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Carolyn, I have one more puzzle piece here.
Yes.
And it's labeled Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me more.
You know, it's such a joy to be able to talk to you about things that are so near and dear to my heart. And this is the final puzzle piece. And I think this is what helped me step into something bigger than my little self. Was this was almost a forgetting of self, because the whole project was for the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that includes this kid too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So in honoring and being embraced by compassion, I'm just so thrilled that the ripples of that get to touch people halfway around the world.
Yes, yes, yes. It's really beautiful. And I'm having trouble talking because I'm wiping the tears away from my eyes as you're talking about it. Because for me it is so beautiful in that the way the project you describe and the work that you did, as far as I can tell, touched everyone inside of you, everyone here in the Sangha, and then the children halfway around the world are benefiting from your contribution.
Isn't practice just the best?
It's the best. It's a big, expanding circle.
Yeah, or the little kid in me wants to say the bestest.
The best.
Yeah.
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 Oh. Carolyn, it's been a really wonderful 10 minutes here, and I'm really grateful that you completed your beautiful project and then made the time to tell us all about it.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. What's the next bigger word after inspiring?
Yeah. I guess you write it in all caps and put it in 42 size font then.
Uh-huh. It was lots of exclamation points and underlines, and that was fabulous.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I have been traveling a lot, although my last travel was back here where we're on retreat at the monastery this week.
Yeah.
And I have not seen the show.
Yeah.
And I was really so happy to find out that even though everything has been sold, the show is still there.
Yeah.
Because it would be just heartbreaking for me to finally get through with all the travels and get there, and there's a bunch of empty wall space. So if there's anybody else in my category there, you know, who just hasn't had a chance to get there, it's not too late at least to see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, next week I'm very eager to get down there and have a look-see.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yes, I think Carolyn told me something like through the end of the month. Or
yeah, through the end of May is what I heard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Great.
Practice is the bestest. And, you know, to hear those kinds of stories about what practice does in people's lives, it's just, whatever, the bestest. You know, and to know that kind of joy and transformation awaits us all the time. You know, if there's a moment that's not where we're living, well, in the next moment, we can choose it and be right there.
Yes.
Sometimes I think it would be easier if I had talent like Carolyn's, but I think that's probably technically not true.
Yes.
So,
yes,
very fun. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for being here with us today. Sherry, we have a couple of callers here.
Good. Because I keep getting reports from people saying, I've tried to call into the show. I've tried to call into the show for weeks, and I haven't made it. So, I'm glad.
Yes, and I should say in this moment that we have only two callers in the queue.
Good.
So if people
that's
wanna,
what I was happy about.
Yes, if people
maybe
want
other
to call
people
in today, please do so now.
Yeah.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey. I got through. I found that the secret time to call is early.
Yes. Michael always encourages us in that direction, but sometimes I think we don't realize how early is.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I had a little parting in the clouds, so to speak, yesterday, and an ego almost talked me out of calling. And,
of course.
Yeah, and then it just clicked that, hey, wait a minute, this is exactly when I need reinforcements, is when I'm not, you know, otherwise I guess they're not reinforcements, they're the life-saving device itself. But anyway, this is,
yeah.
So here I am.
Good. What's going on that we can reinforce?
Yeah. Well, where I want to begin. You know, I've been struggling with the ending of this relationship, and the more specifically the thoughts of conditioning that just want to project all this onto the person that's no longer in my life, all the joy, all the love, it was just all about him and how much, you know, how I was only very happy because of him. And now that he's gone, you know, it just feels like there's nothing left but despair.
Yeah. So there, you have just laid out every popular song for as long as there's been music, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's all about him. Now that he's here, my life can begin. It's working. It's all because he's brought this to my life. Without him, I'm nothing. And now conditioning would like to reinforce that for you.
You know, it's no wonder I so believe that. I did cut my teeth on country and western music in Texas growing up, you know, so it's every country song. But what has been so helpful is owning that projection. And just yesterday I had this, I went to this memory of when my oldest daughter graduated from high school and went to college. I had the exact same process happen, a very different content obviously, but But it was when she was gone out of the house, I felt like my world was just ending. She was just such a light in my life, and now she was gone. And, you know, it was the same process.
Wow.
And I hadn't seen that before.
Good for you. That's
huge,
isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And, you know, and I remember being on the retreat with you about a couple of years ago, just so in love, and you kept pointing to this thing, that this experience of life is possible all the time, but I couldn't see it, you know, that this whole in love feeling was, I don't know, it just is not dependent on another person.
Yes, which is, on the surface, completely bizarre, isn't it? How can you be in love without somebody to be in love with? And, of course, what it sounds like you're closing in on is that you have someone to be in love with. You can be in love with you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because it is a matter of being in love. The language is actually quite accurate. The being has its being within love.
Yep. Oh, gosh. You know, as you're saying that, this something happened this morning in meditation that was just such an exquisite experience of that. And it was, I was sitting, and the thoughts of him started up again, you know, of, oh, he was so this and he was so that, and it was just starting up, and I had this sense of drop the conversation. But it wasn't like I had previously in weeks and ahead, you know, previous weeks had this sense of kind of a command to drop the conversation,
uh-huh.
kind of a yanking the conversation away.
Uh-huh.
Instead, this morning, it was like there was the little part of me who was engaged in the conversation, looking at the mentor part of me, and the mentor was inviting her to drop the conversation, and she dropped the conversation.
Uh-huh, because she got a better offer.
Yeah, and nobody had to take it away from her. Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. She got a better offer. You know, when relationships end, you know, somebody leaves a relationship and somebody gets left. And you often hear the person who leaves say, you know, well, I'll be so glad when she finds somebody else. I'll be so glad when he finds somebody else, because there's that recognition that all of that love, that in love, as soon as it gets turned to another object, the person is going to lose interest in the previous object.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so,
yeah.
To me, that's what just happened. There's that little person who it grew up on, thoroughly believes it has to come from outside, and I it did, and I was happy. Then it left, and now I'm alone, and suddenly the information came that, no, actually, you're not left and you're not alone. All that love is right here. And she's happy to drop that previous conversation and turn toward that love that's being offered to her.
Yeah, yeah. That is exactly it.
That's gorgeous.
And you know, the really cool thing, just from a purely practice perspective, is that I proved to myself that nobody has to yank it. It just all happens as it does, because often what happens is ego, of course, gets its little grimy fingers on my practice,
right?
And the language and the everything about
starts
it.
Telling you how you should be and how it needs to happen and what you need to do next, and all you were doing was sitting there paying complete attention, and it all arose in front of you. You were present to it, and you were changed.
Yep, yep. Even coming back to the breath for years was more like a dog getting yanked on a leash than me actually just dropping it and coming back. And I remember when I really experienced this shift in that as well, and it just felt like this was another one of those monumental shifts of compassion practicing instead of ego practicing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we talk about it all the time, but as you indicate, until we have the experience, we just, that conditioned world is the only one we know. And so people can talk about kindness, loving kindness, compassion, all that, but it's just such a theory. Mm-hmm. And what we believe so wholeheartedly is, nope. If I'm going to change, I need to grab myself by the scruff of the neck and shake myself into being who I need to be. That it can be as restful and relaxing as just kind of falling back into warm water. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not in the programming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to sort of happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's that accidental falling into it. And once we have the experience, as you say, it's okay. I get it. And now we can pursue that.
Yeah. It's just really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what one of my favorite theologians, John Shea, used to say, that all encounters with God are accidents, and the best that we can do is make ourselves accident prone.
Yes. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, with no control, but completely willing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well,
very
thank
happy
you.
For you.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, let me give out the phone number here. That's toll-free in North America, 888-4-SANGHA. If you turn that into numbers, you get 888-472-6442. That will get you into the TalkShoe system, and then you'll want to punch in the code for our show, which is 15406-POUND, and that will get you in the queue.
Right.
And we have another call here.
Nothing to it, huh?
Nothing to it. Easy. There's plenty of phone lines. There are many of them open. And we're good at talking.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Ramita in Charleston.
Hey, Ramita.
I am so proud of myself for taking this leap. I, as you remember on retreat, I recognized how, despite the years I've been sitting on the cushion, I have not been taking advantage of everything that this practice has to offer.
Aha.
And I made a commitment to myself, and I'm following through despite my pounding heart and all sorts of technological challenges and conditioning wanting to do something else with my life.
Aha. Uh-huh. I think we did recently have a conversation about the importance of keeping agreements with ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's been so helpful to remind myself with over the last couple of weeks. And the sense of willingness has been growing, and the appreciation for practice and the ease. When I first came off the retreat, I usually had a pretty good reentry from other retreats. This time was different. It was like conditioning was quite stirred up and quite panicky, and actually taking over the process of monitoring the breath.
Oh.
And
endangering your life.
Well, yeah, kind of. Making it feel like, you know, and I think I mentioned this in guidance at one point, you know, I was confused, or the conditioning had it like, I have to concentrate in order to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
There was this tension around the breathing and around this monitoring of me sitting and practicing, and as if, again, conditioning had its sense of what being present was supposed to look like and how the world and how my experience would be if I were centered.
Yes. Yes, having no experience of that itself, it would present itself as an expert on the subject.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it feels like I'm getting to know a subpersonality that's been operating for forever, and guiding and constricting my practice, really. And this newfound sense of freedom and relief, it's been quite remarkable.
It's just amazing to realize that we don't have to do anything. The body knows how to breathe. Attention and awareness naturally reside with us. All we've got to do is let go and just let life live us. It's so restful, which, of course, as you're indicating, is why conditioning wants to present it as some arduous task that you're certainly not up to, and without its skillful guidance, you would just fail utterly. And to realize that, no.
No, it's much easier than that.
Much easier.
Yeah, and beginning to feel that knack of that hearing, that middle C, and that resonance of, this, and homing. It's like a homing instinct that's coming from a deeper place beyond conditioning.
Yes.
And
yes.
That choice is getting more and more available.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like conditioning has had the scramblers in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that signal calling you home was getting scrambled, and that frees conditioning to do all the interpretation. Well, you know, this means that what you need to do is this, and okay, well that means that what you should do is that. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And then these judgments about, now if you're really centered and making progress, you will have these impulses but not those impulses.
Right.
and recognizing that none of that means anything.
Yeah.
It's all part of that same process, and I am much larger and greater, and it includes all of that. That there's,
yeah.
I don't have to make any of those choices or discriminations.
Yeah. It's that old Zen story that the tagline is that so? You know,
mm-hmm.
there's that voice over there telling you what everything is and what it means and how you should be. And the only really reasonable response is, really? Is that so? Wow. Huh. Okay. Well, whatever.
And in this newfound sense of relaxation, I've been able to overcome some of the technological barriers that conditioning was putting in place between me and practice. For example, I've been able to download software. Maybe everyone knows about this, but there's a Quick Voice software program that's like $20. You can download off the internet, and with this microphone, you can record your voice on your computer, and
wow.
then download it to iTunes and put it on your iPod. So I've now got a way that doesn't involve an audio tape to record my reassurances, which I've made a new tape about.
That is fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. And I was, so I can have a little icon on my computer and just click on that to listen to the reassurances as well as carry them with me.
That, yeah. And to live in that world, as we were talking a little bit ago, to choose, to make a choice for yourself, to live in love,
mm-hmm.
and then surround yourself with love.
Yes, and the practice representing that love, that reminder constantly.
Yes.
And it's funny, you know, on one hand, the conditioning say, no, you can't do that, you can't engage in this practice. So you're listening to the archives too much, you know, you're becoming some sort of Zen nerd, and... And then the opposite, you know, as soon as I take a break to do something else, the voice kicks in. It's, oh, you're not practicing anymore. You're slacked off. And just recognize that's the process.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Always good to hear from you. Shh. Now, I'm listening.
Interestingly, I somehow did misplace my guidance tape. I know we
talked
about that. And I'm open to finding it again. It'll show up, but...
Oh, for people you know, who weren't on that retreat with us. We did have quite a little thing about recording guidance and listening to it, not just with you, but with everybody on the retreat. And you know, the people who don't want to record it, don't want to listen to it, and listening to that voice that says, "No, I don't want to do that," and just questioning. Now, who would benefit from me not listening again to somebody encouraging me in practice? Would that be my heart, or would that be egocentric karmic conditioning? So I project that you are suspecting that conditioning has hidden that from you.
I certainly think so.
Yeah.
It'll turn up somewhere, and then
yep.
It'll be...
And it will be just as relevant then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. I'm so grateful for practice.
Well, keep in touch, huh?
I will, Sherry. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun, that audio recording stuff.
Yes, I tuned into that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's getting the combination of technology and practice, for me anyway, is just getting more fun all the time, because there are just all of these fun, best word I can think of, ways to support ourselves and surround ourselves with Sangha and with practice.
Yes, just kind of bombard ourselves.
Bombard ourselves. That's what conditioning is doing with its messages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So bombarded by center.
Yes. Yes, it's what we all need.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, let's take a sponsor break, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, now that was fun.
That was fun.
Holy yes. Rockets.
Yes. Yes, it was fun and new.
And new.
Yes.
I have two places to click over to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. That's great. Sherry, let me give out the phone number here. Hard to believe, but there are no callers in the queue right now.
Wow.
It's
just you and me then, Michael.
Well, I have an email question here, so we're good.
We're covered.
We're covered. That's 888-4-SANGHA, 888-472-6442. That'll get you into TalkShoe. And then you want to punch in 15406-pound. That'll get you in the queue. And I do know there are a couple people out there who said they would call us back with an update.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I have an email
All
question
right.
here. Subject starts, conditioning told me not to send in this question as every show is so busy with callers so it will never be read out. That may be the case, but I'm sending it to demonstrate to ego that I'm the one who makes those decisions.
I'm in charge here.
I'm in charge here. I live in Scotland, so phoning in is after bedtime, although I hope to do it someday. As soon as I have funds, I want to come to the monastery, and in meantime, I'm loving your Skype retreat ideas. I have tried the retreat in the back of Making a Change for Good 5 times, and the furthest I've got to date is day 17, which is fine because I'm watching how that happens. I'm now on my 6th attempt, and I'm on day 4 today. Today's assignment is attention moving within the field of awareness. My content for this retreat is the morning ritual I have around the perceived need or habit of having a coffee every single morning. I normally put 3 spoonfuls of coffee into my coffee maker, and while watching how I was going about having my coffee, just as I put the 2nd spoonful in, I knew in that instance I wouldn't put the 3rd spoonful in as I normally would. It became evident to me that 2 spoonfuls was sufficient. My question is this. I didn't plan that. It just happened that way. Did my attention pinpoint the situation purely by coincidence at just the right time, or was it nothing to do with my attention? Was I simply disidentified for a long enough period in order to see I didn't actually need the 3rd spoonful? Gesho from a listener in Scotland.
Well, I love every bit of that.
Me too.
Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, every single bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah, from the commitment to seeing how I get stopped to a question like that that shows such a deep level of looking. I wouldn't even begin to attempt to answer that. Because, number one, of course, I don't know. I would have my suspicions and my projections. But I would not want to interfere with the level of looking that person is doing. That is just the most exciting of all possible experiments.
Yes.
You know, to watch at that level what just happened. When is that going to happen again? So there I am. I'm watching. I'm aware of the attention moving in the field of awareness. I'm aware this drops in. How did that happen? Where was the opening for that to drop in? Where did it drop in from?
Yes.
Oh, it's just it's the reason that I am an awareness junkie.
Yes.
It is endlessly fascinating.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm hoping that this person will continue to look and get to a place of being pretty darn sure about exactly how that's happening, and then set that alarm clock for the middle of the night and call us from Scotland.
Yes.
With a report.
Yes, that would be fun.
And, you know, anybody who's listening from someplace closer than Scotland or even farther away, heck, I mean, you know, Grigsby could be over there in China right now planning his strategy. So anybody can take that on as an exercise. In the retreat that we're doing, the precepts retreat that we're doing right now, we're looking at wholeheartedness.
Uh-huh.
Doing something, doing whatever it is that you're doing wholeheartedly.
Yes.
And, of course, what this points at is nothing left over. So
yes.
no illusion. No possibility of an illusion of somebody who is outside the moment, because the moment is all that is. The person is contained in this moment. So all of attention and awareness is right here, right now. So we can all play with this. We can all experiment. You know, just doing the simplest thing. Washing the dishes, and just there's the spoon or the cup or whatever it is, and instead of just saying as we do without even saying it, I mean it's a conversation that goes on usually below the level of conscious awareness. I wash this cup. Okay, yeah, there's a dirty cup. I'll wash this cup. And so there's reaching over, there's picking up this object. There's an assumption of knowing everything that there is to know about this object, never probably having done any more than just used it and ignored it, because attention and awareness is busy usually in a conversation with conditioned mind about something somewhere else, not here, not now.
Yeah.
So to actually realize that one comes into existence along with that object, that we come into existence together, that there is no, there is in fact no separation, but we have to really be present with whatever that is in order, wholeheartedly present, in order to realize our oneness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's very fun.
Fascinating. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's fun for me listening to you to watch when my attention is there and when it wanders.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Just like in group, or just like anyone listening to the show can do that.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And of course, again, we're conditioned to believe that this, whatever this is, usually something that conditioned mind is pointing us toward. This is important. This is necessary. This is what I need to attend to now. This, whatever this is that is right here, right now, in this moment, this is not worth attending
yes.
to. This is boring and mundane. And, you know, people are having this conversation, or, somebody's doing whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yes.
And so this is a perfect opportunity for me to go off and get into a conversation with conditioned mind about something that's important to me.
Yes.
And boy, yes. when we start to break that down, it's big.
It
so
is.
There's good practice going on in Scotland.
There is good practice going on in Scotland, too. One more point occurs to me in that listening to the archives, we have the chance to notice when we've lost attention and just rewind.
Yes.
So that's been really fun, because I listen to the archives a lot over lunch, and I'll notice, I missed that.
Uh-huh.
And I want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me just go back and listen to it again.
Yes, yes. And practice really being here. We often miss that opportunity because we're in a conversation with conditioned mind about how inattentive we are. So we were in a conversation with conditioned mind that caused us to miss whatever it was in the first place. And then we're very likely to miss it again in a conversation about what we were doing when we missed it the first time. And so to stay, to see all of that for what it is, and to be willing to stay right where we are, doing whatever it is, no self-hatred, no, not going down that road, but just, okay, I keep flipping out. Where am I going? What's happening? What's going on with that? Keep coming back. Rewind.
Yes.
Try to stay here again.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when it's joyful, when it's fun, then we don't mind doing it. It's like, doing Legos with a little kid. Let's take that apart and then build something new.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Sherry, we have another call here.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi. I was just calling to help you out.
Aww. Did you think we needed help?
Well, you know, you said you had no callers, so I thought I'd call in. I can think of things to talk about. And there's something I was thinking about today. I'm not really sure what I have to say about it, but it's just something I was thinking about. Like, in doing an awareness practice, there's, like, I feel like I'm bringing awareness to, lots of areas of my life, money and relationships. And it dawned on me today, or maybe recently it just dawned on me, that a good place to bring awareness was to food.
Uh-huh.
Because I've often had the experience, I've often noticed kind of in the back of my mind has noticed like the experience of not really being, not feeling like I have a good relationship with food, but it's not like it's a problem in the classic sense that people talk about, you know, overeating or anything like that. It's just a feeling of like, I don't have enough time to make good food. I'm not completely satisfied with what I eat. Like that sort of thing. Like it seems like I haven't really noticed it until now. And what kind of turned the corner for me was I was at somebody's house and I noticed how they had bought a lot of like things at big box stores, and I just started thinking about how in this culture we collectively we have this idea of like more is better, and it's better to just amass huge quantities of food somehow. It's almost like we don't appreciate it, you know. We don't really appreciate the food that we eat.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that that's,
for a lot of people, what they're eating is only food in the loosest sense of the word.
Yeah, but I mean, even if it is real food, it's still, there's just like so much of it that it doesn't feel like it's special. Doesn't feel like it's appreciated. And I feel like when I have less money and when I have less, actually when I have, when I'm more broke, then I have less food in my refrigerator and I go to the store and I really look at what I'm going to buy and I really enjoy making a meal. But when I have enough money to go to the supermarket and just buy a bunch of food, I don't have that experience.
So having enough money is a green light for going unconscious.
Yeah, I
now,
think so.
So I would offer you this to consider. If that is a belief system or becomes a belief system, then
mm-hmm.
in order to be conscious, you'll have to be poor.
Right.
So perhaps a different, we might even say better direction, would be to practice being more present, more attentive, more grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could, if you had all the money in the world, you could still make conscious, compassionate choices about what you buy and about what you eat. You could be just as grateful for whatever it is because, you know, one of the ways Buddhists have always looked at it is that notion of we must look carefully at the ways and means by which this food has come. So
uh-huh.
everything that has sacrificed to put a meal on your table. And
right.
so to live in awareness of that and appreciation of that will inspire a gratitude regardless of funds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
And that way, you don't have to be broke.
Right.
A parallel to that is people who have a belief system that they only pursue awareness practice or spirituality or however they want to talk about that when they're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you want to be a spiritual person or if you want to be aware, you have to constantly suffer. I like to encourage people that it might be a preferable route simply to pursue practice. And that
yeah.
way you can pursue practice and enjoy it rather than needing to suffer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to this over again because
it's
really
big.
Good. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about the whole idea of gratitude a lot lately and how I feel so much better when I stop and am grateful for. But
yeah.
this ties in. This is like much bigger than that.
Yes, although that is an excellent practice. You know, it something is going on in our heads all the time, right? Usually,
right.
it's a conversation, or usually we're listening to
mm-hmm.
conditioned mind as it converses with us. So
mm-hmm.
it can be a very fun practice to replace that
mm-hmm.
with your own conversation about what you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's endless once you start, you know. So first of all, I'm grateful that I can see. And these are the things that I'm grateful that I can see. And I realize after a little
mm-hmm.
while, well, shoot, I'm grateful for everything that I can see. I'm grateful that I can hear. I'm actually grateful for everything that I can hear because if I weren't hearing it, it would be because I couldn't hear it. You with me?
Yeah, well, okay, so what happens if you are grateful that you can hear and then you go deaf?
Well, then you will want to be grateful for all of the time that you could hear.
Uh-huh.
Which sometimes people will lose sight of.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I couldn't hear, you know, I don't know if you're a fan at all of Helen Keller, but quite a remarkable human being who lived in a state of gratitude in
mm-hmm.
a life that most people would project was not worth living.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is to be grateful, like
for
the
whatever
whole,
is
the practice of being grateful.
The practice of noticing
mm-hmm.
how much we are given.
Mm-hmm.
You see, again, what we're conditioned to do, what we're taught to believe, is only certain things are worth acknowledging.
Mm-hmm.
So it can sound kind of strange to say, I'm grateful for a refrigerator. And yet, it wouldn't take very long at all without one to realize how important a refrigerator is.
Right.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the sink. I'm grateful that there's water that runs into it. I'm grateful that I have heat when it's cold, and grateful that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could just walk around the room that I live in, and it would take me perhaps the rest of my life to note all of the things in it that I'm grateful for.
Hmm. Well, that's good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you called us.
I'm glad, too.
Good. Let's do it again.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kristen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay. No,
they're caught in technology land.
Yes. And I'm noticing a little funny behavior on my console here, so I don't know if that's part of the...
You know, I suspect that it is. I think we're going to get a lot of information that says, I was calling in.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
And I couldn't get through to you people.
That's very interesting. And the person who's here in the queue apparently cannot hear us. So that's a challenge, too.
Well, Michael,
sure.
Do you have anything going on that you'd like to talk about, or shall we just say, well, this has been lovely, and move on to the next adventure in our lives?
That works for me.
All right.
That works for me. Great.
Good.
Thanks, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Michael.
It's been a pleasure.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right. Good
thank
night.
You. Good night.